from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They shall call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being just like us, and he prayed fervently that there might not be rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if any among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament. He was constantly trying to show the king and the people that God was the true God, that they were wasting their time worshiping idols like Baal. And so Elijah prays that God will stop the rain. And God does, for 3 whole years. During that time, God tells Elijah to go to a wadi, this valley that would fill up with water during the rainy season. And there God will give him water, and the ravens will come and bring him food to eat. Elijah does that for a little while, but then the water dries up, and then God sends him to a widow who gives her last bit of food to Elijah. But then God provides food for them both, as well as the power for Elijah to heal the woman's son. Then, after 3 years of drought, the 3 years that Elijah prayed for, God sends him to meet with King Ahab. Elijah has a showdown with the prophets of Baal, which of course God wins, and then Elijah prays for rain, and God ends the drought. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah went to God in prayer, and God heard his prayer. Elijah prayed about rain, sure, but more importantly, he was praying that the people would find the truth of God. Elijah prayed for his community. Elijah prayed that the people would come to know God. Elijah prayed for people to be restored into relationship with God. We too can go to God in prayer, and God hears our prayers. God hears our prayers for others to come to know him. So we pray that others will find the truth of God. We pray for our community, for our family, for our friends, for those we care about. We pray that people would come to know God. We pray that people would be restored into relationship with God. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Brother Lawrence was a monk in the 1600s. He wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God, in which he described prayer not as something you do a few times a week or even a few times a day, But rather, prayer is something that you are, something that you are constantly doing. His book is all about being in constant communication with God, no matter what your activity. Now you might think, well, that would be easy for him. He was a monk. He lived in a monastery. His life was probably surrounded by church. We can't be expected to do that with our everyday lives. But the extraordinary thing about Brother Lawrence to me is that he didn't have some big churchy job at the monastery. He didn't work in the chapel. He didn't even work in the library. Brother Lawrence was the dishwasher. Brother Lawrence prayed about the ordinary and the everyday. Brother Lawrence prayed his way through life, the good, the bad, and the average. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Brother Lawrence went to God in prayer, and God heard his prayer. Brother Lawrence prayed about the everyday, all that concerned him, the things that were on the minds of his fellow monks. He prayed for daily tasks and small moments. He prayed about big and small struggles, big and small joys, and he prayed for all. We too can go to God in prayer, and God hears our prayers. We pray about the everyday, all that concerns us, the things that are on the minds of those we love. We pray for the small tasks and the daily moments. We pray about the big and small struggles and the big and small joys. We pray for all. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. When I was in seminary in Washington, D.C., there was a group of South Korean students that would get together every Thursday night for a prayer service. They planned and led the service, but it was open to anybody who wanted to attend. I was invited to attend a few times, and I did. In the Korean church, they often practice a method of prayer called Tungsung Kido. Kido is the Korean word for prayer, and Tungsung really just means to cry aloud together. So in Tungsung Kido, what happens is that everybody prays aloud together at the same time, their own prayers, not a unison prayer. I can admit it can be a little overwhelming when you're not used to it. But what happens is that the leader will announce a topic and everybody will just start praying. And this isn't like people whisper praying to themselves and hoping that no one else really hears them. While they pray, everybody is praying loudly at the top of their lungs, their own prayer, their voices kind of meshing together in just a loud noise. What amazed me most, though, about the Korean prayer service is that one of the topics that they cover every week in Tungsung Kido is North Korea, that they would have a time of prayer together where they would pray for the people and the leaders of North Korea. The majority of these students had family and friends still living in South Korea. They'd been directly impacted by this conflict. North Korea was an enemy in a way that I don't really understand what it's like to have an enemy, and many of us in America don't. And yet, they prayed for their enemy. They prayed for peace and for love and for God to be at work. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. These students went to God in prayer, and God heard their prayers. They prayed for their enemy. They prayed for peace. They prayed for safety and protection. They prayed that God might be at work. They prayed that they might learn to love more. We too can go to God in prayer, and God hears our prayers. We pray for our enemies. We pray for peace. We pray for safety and protection. We pray that God might be at work. We pray that we might learn to love more. We pray because we trust that God hears us. We pray because we trust that God cares. We pray because we trust that God is active. And we saw that we have a God who hears us and cares for us, who is with us, who loves us. When Jesus came and he lived among us, and as he is, and as his time on earth was coming to an end, and he knew that, he gathered his disciples one last time around the table, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for you and for many for forgiveness of sins." Let us pray. Holy God, we are so grateful that in all times, in all situations, we can turn to you in prayer. Lord, we are grateful that you hear each and every one of our prayers. Now, Lord, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. We ask that you might make us one with each other and one in ministry and to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion this evening by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it in the cup and receive both elements at the same time. I invite our server to come forward, and then I'll invite you to come as you are ready.
Thank you.
Go forth now with the peace and the love and the grace of Christ. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.